Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome, 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 Dr. Paula Price, to the Paula Price Show. We are so glad that you can be on the call today.
You know, I was wondering if when my number showed up, if you would push the button for me. And thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
Well, I tell you what, Ashley, it's a great day in the Lord, a great day in the kingdom. It seems like we're getting, they're talking about an early winter or frost or something. Weather's certainly been crazy, but, you know, we have been dealing with this. We don't often hear about it a lot in our own circles in the church, you know, this global warming thing and whatever that means or whatever God is doing. But nonetheless, I'm glad to be here. I thank all of you for joining us today and for all of you who will be just calling in and talking to me today. Now, listen, I want you to, when it's time, when Ashley says hit that number one, hit that one quickly. I want to talk to you today. God has given me quite a bit of prophecy for today. Don't know what that means. Can't even tell you how it's going to turn out or phase out, but I know that God has given me quite a bit of prophecy for today and counsel. So somebody must be pulling on the hem of his garment, and another group is just holding on to the horns of the altar to hear from the Lord. So when Ashley tells you hit that one, make sure you jump in. Now, let's just say you don't get through because, you know, I like to give you all the attention that the Lord has in mind. And some of you need a lot. Some of you, not so much. You just need a quick answer so you can go on and get back in the race, run back in the game. So whichever it is, if you don't get through, don't decide, well, I'm never going to do it. Continue to call. Because throughout the week, pray. Because we have found, Ashley, and I think you can speak into this briefly, but we have found that people who have prayed, I needed to hear from God today. If that is you and I don't get to you today, make sure you press through. Because we have found that, Ashley, how often have you heard that over the year or so, or more than a year that we've been doing the Paula Price Show?
Oh, we hear that quite a bit, and through any number of series of circumstances, many times that person will get through, whether it's somebody else had to handle other business and they were in line ahead of them and they had to get off of the call, or it was their first time calling, they accidentally pushed the number one, they don't even know how they got there. So it's you know, kind of like the behind the scenes of how this works. It's quite extraordinary.
It really is. I love how God does it. You know, from time to time, Ashley, we've got to say to them, you know, we don't script this. We don't say, okay, every third court caller, every 15th caller. We don't do that. And we don't have to because we've given this Thursday to the Lord, to the issues that he has pulled on his desk and prioritized on his clipboard. We've given that to God. So he picks the calls. You know, however it goes, we don't really do with maneuvering or anything like that because, well, we want God to rule in this. We want God to answer what he knows is imminent in relation to his duties and his responsibilities as our sovereign and as our Savior. So don't get dejected and all of that. Don't do that. If you feel like you want to message me, that's great. I want that. And sometimes some of you know that I've answered you. I will, you know, especially if you catch me at the right time. You know, you catch me at that time where I'm checking my phone and checking my calls or something like that, I'm pretty much going to answer you. If I'm obviously if I'm traveling or whatever, then I may not. But I try my best to get back in touch with you because you are important. I've been in ministry since 1984. And I have pretty much struggled and climbed, you know, all of us pretty much shared the same story, and learning how to understand God's duties and responsibilities and appreciating his commitment to his people, first to his creation, all people, and then to his church, the redeemed ones of his kingdom. And so it took a lot. A lot of us don't know why God held us up. I mean, we don't know why. Why won't God bless? Why won't I get my day? Why did I, you know, pour in all of this money over here and all of this time over here, and I sold with this one and I served that one, and here I am, you know, on the proverbial side of the road wondering, where is God and what did I do wrong or where I went wrong? And so I would like to just take a few moments today in my exhortation and share with you what I discovered. It may fit some of you. It may fit none of you. But I do know that sometimes when you realize that I may not right now presently have the mind of Christ on this matter. We have heard so much that we have the mind of Christ and that, you know, his mind is in us. We've heard that. But have we explored what that means and what that looks like in action? And I have found over the years that I've been in service and probably before that, but since, you know, 3 decades, I'm thinking that's what counts. But I have found that we don't often know what it looks like. And the number one thing that the church is begging God to do today is to show them what his word looks like in action in their life, in our times. You know, the Bible is timeless. Scriptures are timeless. And as we, you know, we're getting ready to launch our book, Before the Garden, I deal with that a lot. You will appreciate that. But what I have found out is that we when you read your Bible, it's kind of like going to a movie, watching a period piece, you know, watching The 300 or you know, Spartacus or any of those kinds of things. You don't realize how you mentally lock into that age. And you mentally lock into that era and that image. And that image begins to respond to you, answer what you think. So you frame whatever you believe to be the mind of Christ often in a medieval time when the Bible was being formed or in an ancient time of the early days of the church or some even more antiquitous time, you know, again, during the B.C. era. You don't realize how much you don't modernize, upgrade, update your own perception of Scripture. And that is because you think of the Scripture as being being locked into the time that God captured and put in print or put in human format his eternal world. You don't realize that you do not visit or see God's eternal world from God's eternal life. You see it from the churches tapping in to it and more hit or missing it. You don't really wrap your head around the fact that God came back in time, inserted himself, his son, in antiquity to bring us forward through his history to fulfill our destiny. You don't realize that. So now I'm going somewhere with this exhortation, so bear with me. So when you read your Bible, you do not read your Bible as if it is a historic snapshot of God's life and world, even though, and it has prophetic elements to your now. Your mind, you're looking at the cast of characters, and you're looking at the period in which these things, these eternal truths were memorialized by God. You're looking at that, and you're dismissing the reality of God's word. You're missing its contemporaneous value. You're missing it because your mind is the Bible's old. No, the Bible is not old. The dating of that, when God imprinted our world with that wisdom, that's eternal. And so when we say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, you're thinking about Jesus who came in a dark era. You're thinking about Jesus who came before there were cars and planes and all of that. You're not thinking about the man who had the mental, spiritual, and eternal wherewithal to back up in time, to come back in time and set himself in human history so that he could personally, now I want you to hear the word, personally, and up to that point he was doing it through angels, but he, so that he can personally bring humanity forward in its destiny. The Bible, your book is old. Yeah, it's true. The story, the you know, the era, the cast of characters, but we have been, particularly in this age of media and entertainment, we have been tapping into ancient wisdom for a long time. And we just dress it up. We put, you know, we take the robe off and we put on a suit and whatever. Why? Because humanity can't change. God can't change. And the only way humanity can change is that God changes it. And he's doing it one by one, person by person. He's not having this mass force his will on humanity. He's giving each and every one of us an opportunity to receive his way of life. But God is not role-playing his way of life. We're not his lab rats. This is not some sort of eternal experiment to see if, in fact, God can pull it off. And so you don't realize how much you read the Bible from the era in which that history was captured and not from its eternal source, that God took and combed through his eternal archives and all that he went through and all that he's lived, and he picked and he chose particular experiences that he himself lived in his world and that his citizens have conquered and put the and aligned them with the unfolding of human events. So each period, you know, you hear people talk about, well, you know, the Bible is disjointed. First of all, everything's disjointed. Nothing is, you know, I don't care who you are, nothing, because we don't know. Nobody has all knowledge. But beyond that, but you have got to get to a point that you understand the Bible is an excerpt of God's history to bring us into Christ's destiny. And if you could wrap your head around that reality, you would have a lot more respect for it, and you wouldn't start trying to ground it by what you can see, grounding it by the seen, but you would begin to probe those unseen roots, those eternal roots, and tap into their reality. Because God's reality was fixed before he ever made humanity. Before we became real property to God, God's reality was fixed. And so I want you to realize that when you say, I have the mind of Christ, are you locking your perception of that mind in those eras, in that BC time, in that primitive eras? Are you looking at the primitive times of the world after Noah? Are you looking at the ancient times of Abraham's words and all of those kinds of things? Are you looking into antiquity? Where are you looking? Because that determines what you think is Christ's mind. And that determines how you consider your life and your situation being led by that mind. In other words, if you think that Christ's era, the era of him incarnating, coming to the earth, and his 3.5 years of ministry, if you think that's the sum of Jesus Christ, you don't have, and it's not your fault, so don't take it, don't get offended. But you don't really have his mind. You have a moment in his history. You have a moment in his time, but you don't have his mind. Because you cannot approach Christ's mind from the perspective of this man who did 3.5 years on the planet and tore it up and then died, and then you also can't tap into it by the Holy Spirit, because most people think that the Holy Spirit is like smoke. We can just kind of form it. We can pass through it. We can ignore it. We can whatever. But that there's no tangibility to it. There's no concreteness. Forget congruency. So you have to rethink what you call having the mind of Christ. And if you think it's dated and outmoded, because in your mind, when you think Christ, you conjure the picture of this guy walking in the, you know, the wilderness, where in a time where there was no light, no energy, etc. If that's where you are, Christ's mind will never profit you, and you'll be irritated. Now, you'll have his morals, but you won't have his mind. And thus, you won't have the mentality that shaped that moral code that God lives by. You won't have the sense of why he does it. You just won't get it, because in your understanding, you looking at that picture. I don't care if it's the movies or the pictures in the book, or, you know, especially when we do those, you know, those Jesus Christ things, those movies they have, we don't play up this man's superiority. We play up a weak-willed moralist who's compelled to do good and to respond in meekness simply because that's his way. We are not looking at the tactical side of what Jesus did. We're not looking at his strategy. We're not looking at the eternal maneuvers that are going on behind the scenes. There is so much to this story that we have yet to tap into. Why? Because we're locking it into that era, in an era where savagery reigned, where cruelty and grisliness reigned, where people, forget not caring, people couldn't care. Jesus came back in time to change that. So he chose the demeanor. He chose his conduct. He chose his persona to be totally extreme of that on the surface, because his goal was to get to hell. And so when you start thinking about that, you have to understand this is a king, the sovereign of creation, whose words called the shots, who decided to come under his creation. The fallen one at that. He wasn't even trying to do angels, you know, fallen one. He didn't come at a time where it is today, where we have all of their technologies and modern events. He didn't come at this time, but I can tell you about that later. When the book comes out, I'll tell you why he didn't come in this era. But in any event, I want you to recognize that when you say, I believe, what are you believing in? What part of his experience are you believing? Which is why he says you must take his word by faith. It is also why you must begin to read the whole Bible. You know, some of us in this New Testament only Bible, you cannot tap into the real Jesus. You just can't. You can tap into the incarnated Christ, this lowly Savior. But as far as wrapping your head around the creator, the maker, this Ancient of Days person who has decided to lock himself in days for 33 plus years, that's going to escape you. So you can't get wrapped to understand why he's allowing certain things and why he disallows other and why he get involved, why he gets involved in this and then seems to ignore that. You can't understand his priorities. You can't understand his hierarchy because you're dealing with 3.5 years. Now, the uniqueness of Jesus and Paul is Paul had more time to write it out. Jesus had it, but he had more time to write it out and to tap into Jesus' spirit so that he could make some of the statements he made and the revelations he made. Jesus came to set the earth up for what his church would be responsible for taking on for him as an agency of eternity, as an embassy of eternity. So that's what he came for. So he didn't come to bring us the whole thing, although his language is so comprehensive, it comes across very simplistic until you examine what he says. And then you see his masterful communications and how he conveyed certain things that prophetically and predictively that could not have been understood in that era and still is barely being understood in ours. So when we say we have the mind of Christ, what are we saying? The first thing I want to leave you with on this discussion is that when you say you have the mind of Christ, are you thinking of Spartacus? Are you thinking of Ten Commandments? Are you thinking of some sort of a movie epic? You know, when we say epic, we really mean epic as in primitive. We don't mean epic as in God's world that's already at the end of time. We can't even tap into that. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't see it. So are you thinking that? When you think Jesus Christ, are you thinking the man who became flesh and allowed himself to be slaughtered on the cross and beaten up by his countrymen and thrown in a tomb? Are you thinking that? Because does that affect your faith in this man? You know, what are you thinking when you say, but this mind is in me? You know, because Paul said, we will know him thus no more. We saw him as a weak and lowly Savior. When we see him again, we will not see that guy. And Jesus came back and manifested himself to John, his best friend. John was Jesus' best friend, his buddy. Bible calls him the apostle he loved. John got him. And so he came back and he showed himself to John. And that is what the book of Revelation wants to let you know. Now that this is over, now that we have succeeded in what we're doing, now that we have conquered, we set up the kingdom, I'm back home, okay? So let me just give you this dramatic portrayal of what I left to come and get you. And so he shows himself to John, and John can recognize Jesus because he's his friend, but he also can not recognize him because he is God. So Jesus shows up even more profound than how he showed up to the 70 when he stood on the mountain and blew sapphire, or how he showed himself to Ezekiel with the moving creatures. I mean, think about these people. These poor people are trying to capture in print what we live every day and still much of what we have not tapped into. They're trying to talk about automated folks, self-propelled this, self-propelled that. They're trying to talk about self-energized this. They're trying to explain what they don't understand LCDs and LEDs, so they're trying to figure out the lights that are on these creatures, and they're just engulfed in lights, and today we know that they're lights, so we know that they're you know, LEDs and, you know, light-emitting diodes. They know that. We know that today. They're trying to get it, so all they can say is eyes. They're trying to explain, use elements that they had at their disposal, which was only nature itself, and that not a upgraded one, to try to tell us how his world runs. And God shows up in his spectacular technology to let us know, and what did it capture? To let us know that we're way ahead of you guys. We're way down the road from you guys. So then he shows us the living creatures. He shows people, shows us beings that are not bound by gravity, wings that, you know, they call them wings because that's all they can call them, and I'm sure he made it look like bird wings so that they can understand that, so they can capture the concept of flight. But in reality, that's all of, even that, those images, that imagery was brought down to an era that God had to use to express to his people, there's another world. We are way ahead of you. We are super in charge. And we've got this thing in tow. So even though you can't see it, understand we finished where you're starting. Every day that we live, we are reliving a page from God's history that coincides with his destiny for us. So he pulls that page out, and he throws it, and he put, I mean, you know, right, you know, for them it was a page. For us, we would say that it was a reel, or it came down from the clouds, or, you know, our satellite dish reran it. But it's nothing but God's reruns meant to give us insight into his eternity. So when you say, I have the mind of Christ, I want you to shift a little bit. And when you say it in the future, I want you to think not of a guy who's locked in a 24/7 day where people can kill him at any moment. I want you to think in terms of somebody having finished all that there is, because Hebrews 4 says the work has been finished from the foundation of the world. So I want you to think about somebody who literally got up off the throne of creation in a planet way beyond our galaxies and tons of other galaxies, and decided to put himself in a genetic lineage of a particular line of humanity so that he can get into the planet and bring us up to speed. So he can, from inside of us now, update us, upgrade us. You know, he from the inside, he can install his kingdom. Because that's what he said, the kingdom of God is in you. We couldn't relate to that. Those people didn't, what, huh? But God has said, I installed my kingdom in you when I installed the new creation in. And now I'm grooming that thing and growing it up so that it can fit our era, our technologies, our life, and our way of living. So all of these moral things that we have issue with, and all of these righteousness factors, and all of that has to do with God working to groom us to become compatible in his world, to fit it, and then to thrive there. You know, there are a lot of people in America, but not everybody thrives. Some people just got in because they just made it off the boat and they just didn't get to be put out. But they can't enjoy the best. They can't get the best. Other people have come in and all they want to do is just, thank you, I'm not where I was. Some of us, we just want to, you know, keep our jobs and pay our bills and just live a quiet, peaceful life. Whatever that is, it doesn't make you any less an American, and it certainly doesn't make you any less a person on the soil, but it does determine the fullness of all that this place has to offer. For whatever reason. So that's just a small example of how God is. And so I was praying to them and said, well, God, what is it that you want your people to hear. What do you want recorded as your thoughts for today? And that is what he told me. He said, I need them to get that epic movie picture out of their mind concerning me. And I need them to realize that I am more than that, but I did that to identify where they are and to set the earth up for who we are today. And when you take that epic picture, the imagery of, you know, people can't get around, folks abuse, you know, when you take that out and you begin to move further into what Ezekiel lived and further into what David talked about and further into what John got as the revelation, you'll begin to see, oh my goodness, I have changed this man. My perception of him, oh my goodness, I had no idea. Because if you don't change that, you still can't believe that God can do the impossible for you. You cannot believe that this man has all authority. You don't believe that he has in his world the ability to push a button in his technology and make happen what you need on earth. You cannot believe that. You can't believe that he has complete access to every soul. When he says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, I mean, come on, back in that time it was like, yeah, well, you know, somehow or another, the invisible Most High God, or Yahweh as he was then, he can go then, and eventually he can just, you know, muscle in and whatever. No, you can't believe how God can change people and alter their perceptions to achieve what he wants. See, those things, but if you don't except that Jesus did not come into existence when he got in Mary's womb, but that he literally reformed, that's why he said coming in the form of men, he reformed his divine self and then compressed it, like we compress scriptures on the internet, compressed the fullness of his Godhood in a sperm, and then allowed it to be contained in a body. If you don't get that, then your Christianity will mean little to you, and it will just be another world institution and another reason for you to say, well, our church is better than your church, or our faith is better than your faith. You have no way to articulate it. And on that statement, I can go into why you want to get the book Before the Garden, because all of this that I just told you is in that book. All of it. You can answer questions. You will meet God in a way that you never have before. You will capture his eternity, his eternality, his deity and divinity, his humanity. You will get his logic system. I promise you. Because when I was writing this thing, God is so excited about this book because he finally got somebody to sat still long enough for him to unload his mind and share his thoughts and reveal his soul. This book, you know, we understand the spirit, takes us in the spirit of God, although sometimes I think we assume we understand more than we do. But we can, okay, so we have the spirit of Christ and all of that. But I want to tell you something. God wants to take us into his soul realm. And because, see, we're so busy hating our soul realm, we don't realize that God has a soul realm. And he wants to take us into that soul, that soul that makes him who he is. It is at that soul place that we are like him, as well as at the spirit. We can't just say, well, I just want to learn the spiritual things, because, see, that keeps us in eternity. But that soul realm is going to bring you into the mind of Christ on earth, the mind of Christ in the physical world, in the tangible world, and the experiences of God in that realm. So I wanted to, twofold, we have this conversation for two reasons. First one being that you would alter how you see God and what you mean when you say you have the mind of Christ and what you mean when you say you believe in him. What are you believing? And if you're believing in an era that you despise, then you don't really have the confidence in God that you need to press for what he has ordained and decreed for your life and what he has authorized his church to achieve. So that's the first thing. My second reason was to let you know, again, I'm going to talk about this book until God tells me to stop, because I'm telling you, it will change your faith. It will supercharge your Christianity and take you into another dimension. It will open up. It promises to open up a dimension, a realm of your brain, a sphere in your mind that will reconnect you to God himself and his world. And you're going to be able to answer him, not just by the spirit, but I don't know, I can't explain, but you're going to have the power to articulate intelligently what happened to you when you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, in the form of a man. I believe he was crucified. I believe he went to hell and spent 3 days and nights in hell. I believe he was raised from the dead. I believe he ascended on high. I believe he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe he poured out the Holy Spirit, and that I was in the Holy Spirit that he poured out. I believe that I'm born again by the Spirit of the living God. I believe I'm born again by the blood of the Lamb. When you make those statements, that when you say them with the epic mind, sing home, ho hum. But when you start looking at the eternal technology behind God making it happen, you will realize something spectacular happened to you. And you will never trivialize your Christianity again. You will never, ever despise your faith or despise this man. Now, there are people who despise him because they're in that epic mindset. But when you go from epic to eternal, I promise you, your mind on Jesus Christ and your mind on your salvation and your faith will change. I promise you that. Now, if this was a blessing to you, you want to go to our website and you want to pre-order your copy of this book because you want this information for yourself. It is nice that I gave you this little bit here and whatever moments that I took, but there, it is more important for you to see the whole thing put together as a perfect unit, and you can trace this continuum, God's eternal continuum, from heaven to earth, from earth to hell, from hell to earth, and earth to heaven. That is the continuum. Heaven to earth, earth to hell, hell to earth, earth to heaven. And if, when you get this thing, you are going to begin to explain your faith. First of all, you're going to appreciate it. And then after that, you're going to get fired up. It's going to be great. You're going to be charged, supercharged. And then after that, you'll be settled, and your faith will become like a rock in Christ. And all of the stuff that you live will make sense. And all of that, it'll all start to make sense to you. And you'll be able to find yourself and niche yourself in the kingdom of Christ. And that is what I wanted to share. So, again, I encourage you, pre-order your copy of the book. And listen, you're going to want to skip around because it has some great stuff in it. Then it has these real spectacular things in it, like I just said. But you want it all. You want the whole foundation. You want to study it point by point. We're putting together an entire program so that you can study it point by point and then understand how to articulate it to those that you teach, train, share, testify with, whatever way. But that you'll be able to articulate it when you communicate it to others. That is the word of the Lord. And that's the exhortation that I wanted to give today. So, Prophet Ashley, your turn.
Well. I tell you what, that exhortation said so much. I have so much and so little to say at the exact same time. I don't even know how that happened. But just the when you were talking earlier about, because we watch these movies and everything, and when we read the word, it's in ancient times, we lock God down to the era in which we study him. And I think that is such a profound thing that you just don't realize you do. But when you say it, it's like, oh, yeah. No wonder sometimes I have a hard time believing that God is all that, because I think that people from that era were at a tremendous disadvantage. That's really how we think. They didn't have the education we have. They didn't have the science we have. Yet so many things were happening at that time. And so I continue to be amazed by how ahead God really is and how he has slowed things down in his world to bring us up to speed. I think the average Christian would almost be appalled sometimes to think that, but God slowed down for us. And we're like, no. We slowed down for him because that's how we feel. I came out of the secular arena. I'm no longer doing these things. And I just had, my life had a setback. Some people feel like their life had a setback in some areas when they got saved, not that it was actually catapulted literally to out of this world. And so you talking about God being out of this world and pulling things into our world. First of all, God is not role-playing his way of life here. He's not trying to figure it out. He already has it worked out. That's a profound statement all by itself. And how we are living God's reruns that are meant to give us insight into his eternity. When I first heard you teach on these things years ago, I thought, wait, what? Can you go back and say that again 5 times? slowly. So God is slowing down because we feel like our prayers are to catch God up on what's going on. I need to get in prayer so God can find out what's going on. I need to pray. I need to connect with him so I can update him on my life. That's kind of how the prevailing sentiment, at least one of them, really is. Not that we get into prayer to tap into God's eternal solution that's waiting for us to get there. And those are two completely different perspectives. It really is like children and their parents. Kids think their parents are old-fashioned, they're outdated, you have no idea what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Things were different when you were a kid. Now they're different now, and so I need to find somebody younger and more up to speed who can really help me out. So whenever you have that one major thing you can't get around and your parents walk you through it and get you out of it, you're like, how in the world did you know that? And that's when they're like I've been telling you this whole time, I'm ahead of you, not behind you. And the chicken, not the egg. And that is really how we act with God, that he's the egg. He came last, and we're the chickens here. We were here first. We were on earth first. We were on earth before Jesus, so we really know more than they do. And so wrapping my head around that and digesting what you were saying today is really powerful. And I love this statement. God installed the kingdom in us. Technological terms, technology, I've been working through this with a lot of my students and clients online, how our modern technology allows us to grasp these concepts of what God did and how he did it so much faster. So you're talking about installing something. You install a program, you install code, you install it. When you boot it up, it all begins to read and talk to each other. And how when we kick over into salvation and our whole new man is booting up, that kingdom is already in us, and it's activated. And so that's just, you know, I'm excited. So I could probably say a whole lot for a while, but that just gets my juices going.
Well, you know, and I thank God that, you know, if this is the best time. You know, we have heard people say over and over again, there's no better time to be saved, alive, and in the kingdom. I concur. And as I've studied this, and certainly as I explored the language of before the garden and all of that, I was amazed and still live amazed, stunned at what God did. And when I read a lot of those older writings, even those earlier commentators, they use language that alludes to it because, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, granted, we have more tangible examples. I'll go with that. But I'm still, you know, fascinated by what God did, but that it's intelligible. How many times, Ashley, have we heard people say, you know, the deep things belong to God, but I don't mess with God, but it's the man upstairs, but that's his business. Let me tell you, God gave us so much of his business that if we don't even need to get into that he hasn't told us because we can't figure out the business that he didn't share with us, you know? So he's given us a lot of his business and a lot of information for us to move on. And it's my passion. To see to it that those who know their God, who want to know their God, know him in truth. We know him in spirit and in truth. But God said that if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. That phrase is an awesome phrase because we never think about soul. Who ever talks about God's soul? Nobody talks about God's soul. We talk about the God's spirit. We talk about God's son. And when we say spirit, we're really talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, not his essence as God. So we're talking about God's spirit. We're talking about God's son. We talk about God's word. We don't talk about God's soul. But he says in his soul is his pleasure. When God says pleasure, he's talking about his soul. He's talking about that side of him that has his own emotion, that houses his emotions, and lets us know what he feels and his sentiments on things and his appetites and desires. All of those things are real. And because God has to write them down so that they could remain uniform for eternity, and because he had to write them down and disseminate them throughout his church and adapt them to different people groups in the planet, we assume that they don't reflect who he is and what he wants. And it's that confusion that has people caught up, but it's also that confusion that keeps people in thinking that they can just do this in any kind of way and that they can make it up as they go along because they assume God's making it up as he's going along. And so the book, actually, you can speak into this. We've discussed it a lot. But the book, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum, refutes that in so many ways. Would you not say?
Oh, I'd probably say in every way, Dr. Price. And you articulate and come at these things from several perspectives. The research, the insight is impressive. I would have to say, and I have not read through the book yet. I'm waiting with everyone else. I'm so excited. But I do know from what I have seen, what makes the book impressive and formidable is that you have done your homework. Anybody who knows your work knows you do your homework. And so it equips the saints with the articulation and the pathway, I'll say the pathway of revelation that you follow to come to your conclusions. That's what's going to make this book powerful, because you're not just presenting your revelation on a silver platter. Ta-da, look, I want to say something new and different and see if I can say something that hasn't been said before. You really wrote this to do a few things. Equip the saints, arm us and prepare us to do battle, because we're being slaughtered out here, but most importantly, to tell God's story as it truly happened and continues to unfold. Those articulations are why the book refutes so many things that are out there, because a lot of what's out there has holes in it, and it's pieces, it's elements. Many of it is not malicious. It's just like gaps and spaces, and this is just an inkling and an iota. But this would definitely be a holistic approach to what God had in mind and what in the world is really going on in the kingdom of God, our salvation. What is this really all about? So I'm excited.
I know I am. And so, and I know we're going to go in a few minutes to our prophet out there who joins us and lets us know about what's going on in my world, and I'm sure she has a couple of hot points. She's such a profound woman. But I want to say that when, you know, there are a lot of us that say we're this or that, we're an apostle, whatever. But, you know, the Bible said that that we are stewards, that he made us stewards of his mysteries. And that means that, you know, mysterious stuff, mystique stuff, you know, is not supposed to be, you know, kind of eerie. They're kind of, ooh, whatever thing. But it's unfolding a plan. We get to lay down another track. We get to lay down another footprint for the king and his kingdom and by the Holy Ghost. So when you have a revelation of God, it's supposed to lay down another footprint of the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to come up with something that we can't find, or going back to Thyatira's church or the depth of Satan, because that's not God. You know, I mean, in the continuum it shows up. You'll love it, because I deal with him in the continuum very, very bluntly and very extensively, as well as everything else that God did. But as an apostle, particularly as a founding apostle, I have to say I thank God that I have a revelation that can move and that can alter his kingdom and that goes forward. All revelations, if you're taking notes, all revelations have got to lay down a consistent footprint and leave on the world a tangible handprint of God's present doing or the next phase of his plan. It cannot erase every step that's going on. We can't treat every revelation like a person with a branch in the bush. You're just going to go and use brush all of the ones away that were before you so you can hide whoever was there before, or no one knows where you came from or where you went. That's not what this is about. God expects us to make imprints, footprints in the kingdom, in concrete, in stone, that keep people following in our path. We like that thing, footprints. Well, you know, that's really wonderful. I love that poem. But think about that in terms of God wanting those coming behind to walk in those footprints. And hairs are not just in the sand. They're in the stone. They're in the rock. They're in everything. But we have to. People have to follow the footprint of the king. And a revelation that brushes away his last step is not a revelation from Christ. And a revelation that takes you in another direction and veers your prince away from that. That's again. I like what you said, Pat. So there's a lot going on. Todd, I think Todd is on the line. Chief, are you there? because she recently had a similar experience to what we were talking about, again, people not understanding the role of revelation. The role of revelation is not elimination of what was before. That is not the role. So two things I want you to write down about revelation today, and then we'll move on. It's not elimination, and it's not deviation.
I said, amen. Good morning. I am here. I don't think my line was unmuted, but I am here.
Oh, okay. But so before, let me finish this thought, and then maybe you can take just a few minutes and probably speak into what we're talking about as far as before the garden goes and God's eternal continuum. But I just want you to understand the continuum will never eliminate or deviate. It will keep you in the – it will pick you up from the last footprint God made, from his last footstep, and guide you, imprint his next step for you to follow. That is how God thinks. That is how he works. How about you? Okay, now it's your turn.
Well, amen. Good morning. I think this, of course, you know, I love the subject of before the garden and love the subject matter of the concept of the continuum, because to me it does something for Christianity and doctrine that is so needed, and that is it brings things together versus divides. You know, Jesus made that very interesting statement. He says, but if you're not gathering for me, you're scattering. And I think that we don't sometimes connect that to a lot of doctrinal revelations that scatter everything in the Bible and that fracture our line of thinking on it, and it creates more questions and contradictions than it brings answers. And what I love about the Before the Garden is that the objective is continuity, congruency, wholeness, the self-same spirit being consistent from Genesis to Revelations, with every encounter, with every visitation, with every messenger and representative that shows up there. And I love the fact that you tie all of those pieces together so that we now as believers have a traceable line, you know, to follow all the way through that proves that God is the same yesterday, today, and, of course, forever. I want to make one small comment on the idea of Jesus being antiquated. I love the fact that Before the Garden, you know, kind of deals with the everlasting Jesus Christ, the timelessness of Christianity, the timelessness of God, and the timelessness of our faith. Something can't be antiquated if it's out of time. Antiquated is a time-bound term, okay, because it would mean that it had to exist in a previous, you know, thing that we're marking. But the fact that Jesus is behind, ahead, and the present all at once, I think it's such a phenomenal piece, which will prove why this isn't, you know, what we think. Our methods, our understandings of him might be antiquated. Our belief systems might need an upgrade, okay? But Jesus is not bound to this time and space and culture and our little limited continuum here on earth. And I think you explore that very well in the book.
I do, and thank you. Before I let you go, I want you to make a comment. What did you say about eternity and what you think we think about eternal and eternity as the church of today? Remember, we had a conversation not too long ago on that subject. Do you remember it?
Yes, I do. I was in conversation with someone on Facebook that was talking to me about some things in Scripture that they, you know, agreed or disagreed with, and they were talking that we were referring to some of the eternal aspects of even Melchizedek, and he said to me, well, I just think that all of that stuff is symbolic. And I thought to myself, it's sad and unfortunate, really, that this generation of believers has been taught that anything related to their spiritual and eternal roots is merely symbolic, and that we have no tangible and concrete connection to our origins and where we come from. Now, we say a lot about doing things in and out of the spirit, but when it comes to really taking on the reality of what that means, for us it's still, as a modern-day church, very enigmatic and very symbolic and very allegoric. We don't necessarily see those tangible connections.
Well, and that's what I wanted to share. I wanted to leave them with, you know, because it goes back to what I started out with. Is your mind of Christ symbolic? Are you dealing with Jesus Christ allegorically? Are you dealing with him symbolically? Are you dealing with him ethereally? Because that's what all of his adversaries want you to do. They don't want you to concrete or cement Jesus. They don't want you to solidify him, substantiate him. They want you to pursue an unsubstantiated Christ so that any imposter can step in your vision, step in your imagination, and pretend to be him. And that is another thing that I address in detail in Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. And we tagged it A History of Eternity. You want this book. You want this book. You want to buy dozens and dozens of this book. You want all your friends to have it. You want it around the world. You want it in every language, because I promise you, by the Spirit of the living God, and if you have God inside you, you know what I'm saying is true. I promise you, by the Holy Ghost, your world will be changed. Your view of Jesus Christ will be changed, but your faith and your worship and your devotions will soar beyond this world. So that's what I wanted to leave you with. Thank you so much, Chief Prophet Tala. I thank you for who you are, for what you've done. You are one of the reasons why this book is written in the first place. So you must feel very, very good about that. So we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much. Amen. I'm excited. Amen.
All right. Prophet Ashley, do we have our other prophet available?
Yes, we do. She's ready to go.
Jump on in there.
My goodness, my goodness. Well, good morning, almost afternoon, Paula Price Show audience. You've been listening to a powerful exhortation this morning from Dr. Paula Price. This is the Paula Price Show, which broadcasts live on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. It runs to 1 o'clock central. If you're listening online, it's blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. If you're calling in on the line, make sure you press 1 again if you want to speak to Dr. Price in the second hour. Wow, 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 what a powerful show. You know, I'll open up today with just a quote that I was scrambling to write as fast as I possibly could, that Christ's adversaries want you to pursue an unsubstantiated Christ. I said, well, my goodness, talk about a conversation point. So, Dr. Price, I'm going to have to go on your Twitter. We're going to talk about that some more. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Prophet Adia. I am your prophet on the ground. So I'm going to let you know all about what's going on with Dr. Price. And of course, of course, of course, how you can get your hands on Before the Garden. If you're listening right now, I want you to visit us online, drpaulaprice.com. Right there on the homepage, you can get your copy of Before the Garden. On Dr. Price's website, there are two links available, one to order your ebook copy, the other to order the paperback. Before the Garden hits the shelves September 26th. So listen, you don't want to miss it. It's already at the printer. They're hot off the press right now. It's going to be released September 26th, and you don't want to miss this opportunity to go ahead and pre-order your copy. When you do, you'll receive a complimentary download of exclusive clips from the book, interviews, all the interviews that were done about Before the Garden, a special introduction from Dr. Price herself telling you why she wrote the book and what she knows that you're going to get from this book when you're finished reading it, as well as a bonus track with a complete reading of Chapter 1. So you don't want to miss out on that. You only get that full preview audio when you pre-order Before the Garden. So go online right now, drpaulaprice.com, click that homepage, and choose if you want to pre-order your paperback copy or the ebook. It is such a powerful, powerful book. I'm telling you, it's going to change your world. A little bit later, I'm going to read some quotes from those of you who have gone online and let us know that you want to be a part of this book experience and are anticipating the release, as well as a few bonuses for you guys. I'm going to give you some select chapter titles, just a few. There are 22 chapters in Before the Garden. I'm only going to give you 4, but get excited because these 4 are really good. But before I do that, let's talk about where Dr. Price is going to be next. If you have a paper and pen handy, you might want to jot a few of these things down. Coming up here next week, Dr. Price is going to be in Hartford, Connecticut, at the Apostles' House with Apostle Suzanne Howard and her congregation there. Friday, September 19th is that date there. I think it starts at 7 o'clock p.m. that evening, but you can visit online, apostleshouse.net, theapostleshouse.net, www.theapostleshouse.net. You can visit that website so you can find out more details about how you can be involved if you're going to be in the Connecticut area. But don't miss out. Dr. Price isn't in Connecticut very often, so don't miss out. If you live close enough to drive, get in the car, drive to the Apostle's House, see Dr. Price, bring the books that you have from her so she can sign them. Bless her, greet her so she can hug your neck and give you a blessing before you leave. So that's September 19th, and that's happening in Hartford, Connecticut. Right after that, we're going to be heading down to Florida before the Garden. Dr. Price is going to be speaking at Manifesting Prophetic Destiny. It's a prophetic convocation weekend down there with Apostle Juwan Holmes Rawlinson. It's going to be a powerful time. I know it. I believe that God is already moving. As close as before the Garden release gets closer, the Lord has just been speaking. So if you're going to be in Florida, we want you to join us there. It's going to be at the Worship Place. And you can actually get the address and all the details right there on the homepage. They are now posted on drpaulaprice.com. You can go right there on the homepage and find out how you can be a part of that. That's going to be taking place in Jacksonville, Florida, September 26th. That Friday evening is when the release of Before the Garden will happen there. So do not want to miss this powerful event, and that's happening at the end of the month. But Dr. Price also has some travel dates coming up in October, and on next week's show we're going to let you know all about every date that's going on in October. But something special that's happening tonight is Dr. Price is going to be a guest speaker on the Larry Robinson Show, and they're talking about, so you've received a prophetic word, now what? So Dr. Price is going to be answering all your questions on the prophetic. I think that show is going to be dynamic. That's happening live tonight. So save the date. It's happening at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. You don't have anywhere else to be. Call up and listen. You can find out how you can be a part of that. I believe it's an online webcast. You can go to www.gospelinterviews.com. So for this one, you will need internet access. www.gospelinterviews.com. Going to be smoking. Don't miss it. Tonight, 8:30, Dr. Price is going to be live again, so you get a double treat and get to listen to her online twice today. So we're looking forward to that. All right. Last but certainly not least, you're going to be a part of the power that is taking place right here in Tulsa, November 20th through the 22nd. Several of you have asked about our buy one, get one for our Apostolic Summit. It has been extended through the 15th of September. So listen, don't miss out on this. God is doing something special right here in this region. We want you to come and be a part of it. If you're an Apostolic Christian, this event is for you. We're going to talk about where we are, what we face, how we can take the lead, and how God is moving through apostolic people right now. I know prophetically by the Spirit of the Lord there are apostolic people on this line. There are apostles on this line. Listen, apostles, you need to be in the know. You do not need to be missing these apostolic summits. If you have Dr. Price's copy of Eternity's Generals, it is Eternity's General live. So you want to come out November 20th to the 22nd. We're going to be hosting the Apostolic Summit right here in Tulsa. Apostle Matthew Stevenson from Chicago is going to be joining us. And I tell you what, it's going to be an event to remember. Don't miss out on the buy one, get one. You can find out all that you need to know about registering yourself right online at drpaulaprice.com. As I wrap up today, I just want to highlight some of you who have been going like crazy to the Before the Garden Facebook page. Listen, we have a Facebook page for Before the Garden. If you go to facebook.com/beforegarden, facebook.com/beforegarden, or you can just actually go on Facebook and type Before the Garden into your search bar, and it will actually pull up the page. Excuse me. You can get online. We posted exclusive clips from certain chapters. Those things are not on the, they're not anywhere. They're not on the web anywhere except for on the Facebook page. So make sure you go right now, facebook.com/beforethegarden, and you'll be able to view special clips from the book. But I just want to read a few highlights from some of our visitors to the page. Calvin Franklin says, I thank God for the example Dr. Price set. Discipline, get the work done. I aspire to be as diligent and hardworking. I can't wait to read the book. Calvin, you really can't wait, because I'm telling you, this book is amazing. You're going to love it. Pat Polakoff says, get your first edition copy now, because 25, 50, and 100 years from now, your children, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren will be reading this piece of God's released Eternal Wisdom as a world-renowned classic and treatise on who God is and what he has been up to in heaven and on earth. Robert Watson says, revelatory knowledge that everyone should know. And last but certainly not least, another reader says, God bless you. Sharon Tedder, she says, God bless you, Dr. Paula Price, and much success with your book. God bless you, and bless you all. Thank you so much. Writing us on Before the Garden Twitter, you're pulling off the rear. My Twitter fans, come on. Visit Dr. Price on Twitter. Let her know what you think about Before the Garden. We're going to post some exclusive clips on Twitter for you as well. We love our Twitter family, love our Facebook family. Continue to reach out to us because we love to read your quotes. As I close today, some special chapter titles, as promised. I'm going to read to you from Before the Garden so I can get your mouth all salivating and ready to receive your copy. So here you go, some select chapters from Before the Garden. Eternal and everlasting life lies in no man's hands. The prophet's office was first staffed with holy angels. God's redemptive issues began in heaven and not in Eden. And the Holy Spirit, God's skin and blood. Now, you have to buy the book to find out what chapters these are. I can't give away the story, y'all. So get your book. Get your pre-order copy right now, drpaulaprice.com. We love you. You're listening live to The Paula Price Show on Blog Talk Radio. Tell a friend or two, and make sure you press 1 if you want to speak to Dr. Price coming up here in this second hour. Prophet Ashley, back to you.
Come on. Give us a little bit more of that book, Prophet Adia. I want it right now.
You've got to wait.
I know. I'm waiting, not patiently. And I know a lot of our people just, it takes everything they have, Dr. Price, to not hound us every day. But is the book coming out early? We know you have advanced copies. You know, no, we don't actually. We're waiting just like you. So there's no hidden stash anywhere yet.
I know, but it's exciting, and the fervor that's building around it, and we talk about it in morning prayer, but the fervor that's building around it is letting us know God is excited. He is excited about this book. He's excited because he finally can get his thoughts out. You know, we've got a lot of great works out there. Goodness knows the Lord's been talking, and it's been wonderful. Some good stuff is out there, but Before the Garden is different. It distinguishes itself because it's giving you that full picture, and it's not just locked down to earth under the sun. You know, it's going to take you from, again, before we go to our next guest, it's going to take you from heaven to earth, earth to hell, hell to earth, earth to eternity. You remember I said that. So because when it's all over, you're going to know a whole lot more about all of that. Now, Ashley, you tell me that I have a wonderful, beloved friend on the line who's going to tell us quickly about our date coming up in Hartford, Connecticut, at the Apostle's House with Apostle Suzanne Howard. And so we want to hear from her so she can talk about what they have in mind and what people can look for when they get there and maybe how excited the folks in Hartford might be. And then just tell them how to reach them if they want to schedule them or contact the minister in any way. So, Ashley, introduce our next guest.
All right, Dr. Price, our next guest is Assistant Pastor to Apostle Suzanne Howard. This is Assistant Pastor Dolores Davis. She has been on here in Tulsa with us a few times. We know her. We love her. And she is representing Apostle Howard today. Welcome to the Paula Price Show, Pastor D.
Hello, and good afternoon, everyone. I am so excited to be here on today, you know, talking about Dr. Price's upcoming visit. We are so exciting, and the congregation is just bubbling over and busying around preparing for her arrival, and we're just looking for a great move of God and from the wealth of knowledge that is imparted in her.
Listen, thanks for joining the show, and I'm enthusiastic myself, I got to tell you. And the closer we get to the date, the more enthusiastic I get. Tell me just some of the things that your apostle plans and is expecting to come out of this particular vision. I know she shared it because she's pretty articulate. So you tell us that.
Well, she's planning on our prophets that are in training to glean from you your wealth of knowledge on their role in expanding God's kingdom, as far as giving us more insight on the apostolic ministry and even her mantle and what we should expect in watching her mantle continue to grow and to flourish. We've taken away from, I had the opportunity of being present with her and traveling with her to the Apostles Summit, and also escorting our prophets to the prophetic conference. And with all of that, we are just gleaning so much information and wanting to grow. Just wanting to grow. These people are hungry up here. The region, I believe, is ready. We are ready to be that continuous beacon of light here in this region, and we're just excited about what you have to give us, and we're going to take it from you.
Yeah, I heard that I was supposed to limp on bra. So
yeah.
That's what will happen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know that I'm from Jersey, and I did, in my early days of ministry, we're talking reaching back about, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago,
uh-huh.
I did quite a work up in Hartford. And in Connecticut, period, because I was in several areas in the state. So I'm
mm-hmm.
looking forward to coming back home. As Prophet Ashley said, I don't get to the East Coast very often, and I
right.
hardly ever get to my home state region. So it's going to be fun. So and I'm looking forward to it, all that God will do between us when we get there, because I expect awesome things to happen. And again, like you said, I'm ready to meet the region again. I think God has set some things up that are phenomenal. So tell people, before you have to leave us, tell them how they can reach you all and all the other particulars about that time.
Come on down to the Apostles' House. We are located at 131 East Elliott Street in Hartford, Connecticut. You can reach us by phone at 860-296-2323, or you can go on our website, www.apostleshouse.net, to connect with us so that you can find out what is needed to join us in this wonderful, wonderful workshop that Dr. Price is going to be delivering unto us. We are waiting for a great move of God. We are expecting God to do what he does best through her. So we're excited. Come on down. You know, you even know how to reach me as well at the church. So come on down. We're excited, and we welcome you.
Well, I want to say thank you so much. I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us and to talk about how we got there and what we're going to do. Everyone, go to the website, go to the phone calls, etc.
Yes.
And we will definitely, definitely meet you there. Hallelujah.
We love you.
Oh, I love you too. Listen, to everybody who's on, I thank God for you, but everybody who's on, if you're in that Hartford area, if you're nearby Jersey, New York, if you're, you know, in those regional areas around me, I realize Connecticut is kind of large and spread out, but come in. She's right. Bring your book. I want to talk to you. I'll sign your book. I want to chat with you. But most importantly, let us come in and sit at the feet of the Lord to see what God will do. Well, I'm going to move into Ricotola. Do I have you back yet? Because I understand we have. You're there? Oh, see,
yes.
I knew you were going to defeat that adversary, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Well, I'm excited. Okay, so it's time to go on. So, Ashley, what comes next?
Well, next we have our callers, unless you want to take 30 seconds to get a sip of water.
Yeah, I'll take 30 seconds for water.
All right. Well, you know what? We can make that happen. We'll be right back after this message.
Good afternoon, Dr. Paula Price listeners. I know you are each enjoying the show today as I am. I am Apostle Suzanne Howard of the Apostles House, located in Hartford, Connecticut, in the New England area. And I want to invite, solicit, and share with you our New England Apostle, Prophet, and Church Leaders Gathering with none other than General, Author, Prophet, Apostle, Dr. Paula Price. That is right. When? Saturday, September 20th from 12 to 3 p.m. Seating registration is required, so please contact our ministry as soon as you can at 860-296-2323. I repeat, 860-296-2323, or visit our website at www.theapostleshouse.net. That's the apostles with an S. house.net. We would love to share this gift with you, And we've already gotten a few inboxes from pastors who want to bring their teams. If you are coming with your teams, please call us ASAP, as seating is limited and we must make room for you. We must make room for you. New England area, we do not want to miss what God is doing in our region. And we also solicit those church leaders and prophets and apostles and up-and-coming emerging ministers who are thinking about busing in, training in, flying in. We will make room for you. Give us a call, contact our ministry, or again, visit us on the website. Our phone number is 860-296-2323 or our website at www.theapostleshouse.net for more information. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Now here's Dr. Price to give you more details on her vision for visiting the New England area. And my prayer is that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. God bless you.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiatives. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities.
All right, and we are back with the second hour of the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, are you ready to do it? One of the things that you do best?
Yes. You mean talk to people, right? I'm getting calls.
Talk to people, help them out, deliver their souls, you know.
Amen. Well, let's get started.
All right, we have first on the line this afternoon, Lovey. He is calling back, excuse me, into the show, Dr. Price. He has a prayer request today for his baby new nephew. He's having some health problems, and also he is praying just for guidance in choosing the right job. So, Lovey, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Hello, Dr. Price.
Well, hello, Lovey. Am I glad to hear your voice or what? It is good to hear you.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be back, Dr. Price. Glad to be back.
Well, before we get to the baby nephew, what's going in the job thing? I thought we would have worked that out. If we have another shift coming?
That's what I'm praying for. I kind of I have been interviewing for jobs, I want to say, since May. You know, it's like I get to, like, the final, you know, the last step, the final interview, and it kind of falls through. So just praying and asking God for, you know, just asking for guidance and prayer in that area that the job that lands in my lap, the job that I get will allow me to still do ministry at my church and also continue doing training with you guys because those are definitely two things I want to do. So I just don't want to pick any job. I just want to pick the right job because I definitely feel like I'm in a holding pattern, if that kind of makes any sense.
It absolutely does. Let me ask you, you made a statement that I think is worth exploring a little bit more. You said that I get to the second or whatever interview and it kind of falls through. So let me ask you this. Have you had any counseling? Like, do you go to a personnel agency or something to help you interview? Because if that's the break point, then you want to explore what is it that happens at that stage that doesn't land you the job?
Some of them has been through, like, agencies, but some of them, I say it's been like 50-50. Some of them has been, you know, I'll get a phone call because my resume was posted on, you know, like a career builder or something like that. And I get in, you know, I make it past the first, you know, telephone interview, and then I'll make it past the second interview, and then I'll get to the third interview. You know, it's kind of, usually that's where it kind of falls, like right there. So, and I have went to, okay.
No, but that's what I'm talking about. I don't know. You probably need some coaching in that area. We could not explore it on that call, but you do have an advisor who can probably help you with that. And I know that because you're one of our clients. May I suggest that in your next contact or that you arrange for a session that you can examine what happens at that stage? Because sometimes it's a psychological thing. Sometimes it is a fluke. But sometimes it's just one little way that we can turn it or tweak it so that what you want to convey, that it convinces them that you are a good pick, it comes across. So that's my suggestion to you. You should do that. And then, and perhaps your advisor can help you kind of tap in to other people who can explore how you do that as well. That's number one. Number two, I also know that you have a number of skills, and, you know, God's going to call you very soon to start your own business, which is something that you have kind of danced around a little here and there. I am not suggesting that you do that in place of, but there are a lot of web-based things that you can do and should do to explore your skills. So that's my second suggestion to you.
Okay, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, because you have a couple of things that I know can happen. I think that's going to be great for you. I'm looking forward to how this turns out. Meanwhile, let's talk about your nephew.
Yes, I have a nephew. He's premature. He was born like 4 days before my birthday. He was like a premature baby, 6 months. And we just got news that he is going to need a blood transfusion. And, you know, we're just kind of, you know, the doctors are saying he's been getting sick a lot. You know, so now we've been in conference with the doctors and making sure we find the right blood type because he's not producing enough red blood cells. So, you know, as a family, we're a little nervous because right now, I mean, we're looking at donors, you know, other donors out there. But, you know, we're just a little, you know, as a friend, family concerned that, you know, that he'll pull through this. So just asking for prayer in that area also.
Well, let's get on it. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for being the healer. Jesus, you're the creator. You're the maker. You're the healer. You're the doctor. So, God, and you are the developer of the babe in the womb. And so, God, I thank you for stepping in this matter, taking this little one in the palm of your hand and leading him through these crisis periods so that he becomes a strong and healthy baby, a strong and healthy child, and a strong and healthy man in your kingdom. God, I put destiny upon this infant's life. Lord, I break this yoke of disease and sickness. I command the frailty in him to be replaced with the strength of the living God. Lord, we enwrap him in the Holy Ghost so that he will be able to incubate into wholeness and into healing. God, we tap the donor you already have in mind. We already discussed earlier, you've done the end from the beginning. And so, God, I thank you that you tap the donor that you have in mind and that that one treatment is the last one that this infant has to have in order to grow strong, to stabilize, and become viable enough to go home with his parents and, Lord, be reared as a child in the kingdom. I thank you for healing him. I thank you. I speak to this baby's limbs. I speak to the maturation and the formation of the rest of his organs. And I break death off of this youngster in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, God, let it be according to your word, according to this prayer. And I thank you for it. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Price. I definitely appreciate the prayers concerning that matter. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And listen, I want to pray for your job. Wait a minute, I'm not done. We got to pray for your job. No, we need the saints working. I don't like unemployed saints. You know that? I like saints. I like employment. But I like saints to be employed. That works for God, works for the kingdom. So, God, I thank you for Lovey. Lord, whatever this force, whatever this spirit is, whatever this cause of him not making it through his interview, God, I hope that today I break him out of the ranks of unemployment, out of the unemployed, and even the underemployed, God, and I establish him in your workforce. I thank you that by your spirit you're going into your personnel files and you're pulling up the job that is perfect for him. And, God, when he doesn't, there'll be an immediate connection. His tongue will not get tired. He will not be nervous. He will know to say what must be said, no more, no less. And God, you will give him favor with this next and we put you to work today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Woo. Thank you so much, Dr. Price. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Go to work.
Amen. I'm going back to work, matter of fact.
Okay, God bless you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Prophet, who's next?
All right, Dr. Price, we have next on the line. Actually, back on the line is Raul. You caught him in the last few moments of the show last week, and he was like, you know what, I just need a few more minutes with Dr. Price, and I can't be mad at him for that. So he called in early and got on the line. So Raul is back. Welcome back to the show. He called last week, Dr. Price, prayer for direction about the call in his life. He and his wife were working on the youth ministry team in his church. So Raul, welcome back, persistent one, to the Paula Price Show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, Raul, are you the young man from California?
Yes. We only had like a 1 or 2 minutes to talk last week, so I thought I'd call back.
Actually, Raul, we had 7 minutes. It may have felt like 1 or 2, but we had 7 minutes. So now, do you want 7 more minutes, or maybe, you know, 10?
Whatever the Lord allows this afternoon.
Well, catch us up, because, you know, we get new callers every week. Catch us up with what's going on and what you want to discuss.
Okay. Well, like I said last week, it was concerning the call of God upon my life, me and my wife, because right now we're presently in the youth, and I'm dealing with a lot of opposition within the church, and I know from hearing you after a while and reading the Word and hearing other ministers, it's usually not God's not going to make it easy. You know, it's going to be quite tough. But you know, where you draw the line, sometimes, like I told you last week, I'm questioning God. Did I really hear you? You know, is this really where you want me? Is this the training ground at the present moment where you have me and my wife so that I could remain faithful and not, you know, because I think you told me last week that I would be strongly tempted to, that I shouldn't. And I have that fear not to walk out because I feel I would step out of the will of God. So that's where I'm at.
I want to ask you two questions. So maybe it's a two-part question. Number one, okay. Have you been asked to leave?
No.
Okay, so now that's off the table. Number two,
no.
What could you give me a brief example of what you call, what did you say, being mistreated or something like that?
No, just the opposition from within the church of that my wife and I, believe it or not, are too strong and too firm with the Word of God, that we need more leniency, the kids need a little bit more entertainment. And I totally disagree with that.
Okay. You're having resistance. Okay. So let me ask you this. They want you to have more leniency. Now, did they give you an example of what that means?
Well, you know, they're not deliberately, literally saying it, but you know, they need a little bit more time to fellowship, more games, and more playing, and when. I know outright a lot of these teenagers are, you know, more better than I do. I mean, you hear what our youth are involved in today. You know, I'm kind of in that situation.
But let me just say this to you, Raul. I want to ask you one final, and this is about you question, okay? My question to you is, do you want to win these young people, or do you want to have your way?
I want to see these young people walking in what God has called them to do, because I know in the fullness of what God has called them to do as young believers, they're more than able to handle the word of God. Okay, go ahead.
I don't want to go there yet. I'm going somewhere. Work with me, because I want to help you get free. Now, can you relate to these young people? Did they put you over these young people because you can relate to them?
No, absolutely not. That's exactly the statement that a lot of people say. Well, youth ministers need to be relatable to these young people. And I'm not. I just turned 46 last Saturday, so I'm not relatable in that sense.
You're thinking age. So let me ask you this. We're gonna walk this through. You and I, because I'm telling you, I know what God wants to say to you, but I want you to hear it. So did you grow up in church? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I did not. I got delivered and set free, and God delivered me out of the kingdom of darkness of the drug world.
So you got delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and the drug world. So God, in other words, you got a powerful testimony is what you're saying to me, because we don't have time for it today, but we can agree that you have a powerful testimony. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When you got delivered, were you ready to jump into God whole hog?
No.
I
got saved back in 1992.
I don't think you got saved in 1892. I'm trying to tell you that it takes a while, and you've forgotten that. You've forgotten what it was like for you to be confused, for somebody to come in and say, this is God, and your whole life is wrong, and everything you've done is wrong, and if you don't get it right, you've forgotten those years. I know, because I lived what you lived. And God says, never forget what I saved you from. The moment you forget what it felt like to need my salvation is the moment you touch with the people that he sends you to. So here's my suggestion. I think you are called to them, but more importantly, I think God is testing you. I don't think it's your leadership. I don't think it's your pastors. I think it's God. And I know where you are. You're figuring, why am I with kids? I ought to be ministering to adults. But did it ever occur to you that you get an opportunity to do something that most people can't do, and that is turn these kids into godly adults?
Yes.
Which means you're going to have to remember that you cannot teach them, you cannot approach them from the finished work of Christ in you, where you are in Christ. You have to go back to where you started and remember that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, that I came in, like I said, we've been doing this maybe 9 months, and I know I'm beginning to see a little understanding of that I have to start basically at the grassroots level, basically. From scratch with these young kids, because I'm dealing with a lot of kids from the inner city, all races, all cultures,
and it's great.
I actually love it, and I realize it's a challenge, and my wife and I are both ecstatic over it.
But you're not. You're upset about it because you're confused with why God's starting you with kids. That's what's bothering you.
Like I said, the opposition or the resentment that whatever it may be, I'm like, it caused me, okay, God, did I really hear you? I don't mind really where he started me. I just want to make sure, okay, Lord, if this is truly, sometimes I we don't understand exactly what God is doing, but in some way I want to know.
Listen to me. I promise you, I understand more than you think I do. But I'm going to say this to you. You're going to start with baby steps. J is for Jesus. Okay? E is for escape your sins. Okay? F is for now you're saved. U is for unloading your past life. And S is for succeeding and sanctifying yourself in Christ. You're going to start with the little ABCs or JESUSs of this thing. That's number one. Number two, there's nothing wrong with games. Are you kidding? Corporations, military people use games. Everybody uses it. That's just what we do. You just want to, you want to attack. Now, listen, I don't need you to defend yourself any longer because I'm on your side.
Okay.
I absolutely agree with you. Okay? But I'm saying that if you want, you're going to have to realize that where we are today in Christ, a lot of times we forget what it was like. We forget the fear. We forget the resentment. We forget the inferiority. We forget the insecurity and the stability. We forget all of that stuff. And those people right now, I'm going to go on a limb and say something to you that I think is going to help a lot of people. And that is, I think the opposition you have to deal with is the opposition against them being sanctified and them staying in Christ. These kids have spiritual generation forces on them that are trying to get them back, and that spirit wants to drive you out of their lives.
Yeah, I agree.
Then if you 100%. Agree, then we're not going to have. If you agree, then you're going to do whatever it takes. You're going to be a good soldier. This is me talking about me because I've been there. I'm telling you, I live there. If you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to go ahead on and say, you're not getting one kid back. God, tell me how to deal with each and every one of them. God, give me a profile on every kid we have. Show me where to begin. Give me some strategies, because you are not fighting those kids. You're fighting all of those forces that want them back, and they need you to fail.
Yes. Yes.
Then, and so the point that I need you to come to terms with is whether or not these kids are worth it, whether or not these souls are worth you dealing with whatever your opposition is, adapting and varying your program so that you can reach them.
Yes.
If they're worth it, then this call was worthwhile. Because bottom line is, you have to be whatever it takes. I started out that way. Bless God, they just need the word. I just give them the word. But they just need to buck up. They need to do it. And you know what? If they leave and go back to sin, then I failed.
Yes, yes, I agree.
So then I need you to change a little bit and just say, I don't expect you to just listen to, you listen to your leaders and listen to the kids. And listen to their visions. But most importantly, ask God. I'm going to do an Elisha on you, and I'm going to ask God to open up your spiritual eyes for you to see the tactics that are working to get you out of their lives.
Okay.
And I want you to encounter those spirits. I'm asking God to release you to encounter every one of those spirits so that you know what you are fighting for, but what they can't defend themselves against without you.
I agree.
They don't know why they're angry. They don't know why they're rude. They don't know any of those things because they don't know that they are pawns in a real major battle for Christ's fruit and hell's slaves. But you know. You know the battle. You live that life. You know what it feels like. You know your first few days of terror. You know how many times you slipped and thanked God for helping you and not letting you go. You know that. That's why you lived it. And you can bring that wisdom, but also the tactics to your ministry to these young ones. You can do that.
Okay.
I'm convinced you can do it, and I'm convinced the fact that you're doing it as a seasoned man, apparently you must have a very youthful heart and a youthful soul, and that's what God is counting on. He's counting on the wisdom of your years of experience. He's counting on your history that he had to bring you through, and you remembering every day of that hard journey, and he's counting on the success you are today to help him repeat what he did with you, with them, and replicate you in their lives.
Mm. Okay.
That's what he's looking for. That can you imagine how much God trusts you? Do you know anybody who touches you touches tomorrow?
Mm.
You shape tomorrow, and God's saying, I want you to be reproduced in these young people for tomorrow.
That's good.
And that's an honor. And that's who you are. And so whatever it takes, this is your, listen to me, this is powerful. This is your contribution to tomorrow. And you get to extend who you are today and who you are in them into two generations.
Mm.
That's a gift. There is something in you that God thinks is worth replicating down the line.
Oh, that's an awesome responsibility.
Yes, it is. And so you need to buck up and get with it because you are gifted. You're trusted. God loves you. But God trusts something about how you do business in him. He's trusting you. And he said to tell you these words. Tell him I'm relying on him to get this done for me. And those are his words exactly. He's relying on you. So now when you sit down, before you start planning another lesson, God, show me what I'm dealing with. Show me who these kids are. Show me each one of their destiny. Show me their calling. Show me their gifts, God. I want to know before I put my hands on them, I need to know what I'm getting ready to take on. And then begin to pray for them and pray with the same power that you use to pull yourself and your family and your brothers and whatnot out. Pray with that same power, that same fervor, and pray with that same stubborn spirit you have that says we aren't going back and we're not going out like this. That same spirit that made you rise up from who you are, God is asking you to now let him borrow it to pull up some youngsters.
Okay, that's good.
So that is what you are going to do, and we're not going to have any more about whether you are called to this. And God needs you to do this, but he needs you to think that they're worth it. And just remember, not there are a lot of ministers out there, but not everyone gets a chance to touch tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a chance to replicate yourself in the next generation. Oh, my goodness, I don't even understand why we're having this conversation. You must be very important to God.
Oh. Wow.
So now you're going to get a profile on these kids. You're going to pray. You're going to put in the time. And I want you to see each and every one of them 10 years from today and know that they're going into tomorrow with your Jesus print on them.
Ooh.
That's how you're, now that's how we're going to do that. So do we need to talk anymore? Can I pray?
You can pray.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, God. First of all, I thank you for that church. I thank you for that great work that they're doing. I thank you, God, for raising up this man for such a time as this, that, God, you brought him to the kingdom for such a time as this to rescue those young people who would not be rescued had he not said, yes, Lord, your servant here, send me, I'll go. So, God, give him what it takes. Put this burden on his soul. Put it in his gut. Put it on his shoulders as you teach him how to prepare these young ones to take on tomorrow. God, I ask that you would give him visions of the future so he knows what he's doing and that he's working in their lives on purpose, working in their lives with foreknowledge as well as in knowledge and foresight. And so, God, I thank you for taking care of his house, taking care of his family. But most of all, God, I thank you for giving him your vision on this matter and letting him know that if he can care about these young ones, you know he can care about your kingdom and his own house. And so I thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I break every yoke of bondage on his life, and I break every yoke of bondage on those kids. I loose that church for a greater harvest. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for that word.
You're very welcome, and you keep me posted because I'm interested in your success.
I definitely will. I definitely
will. God bless
you.
Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Prophet?
Well, that's a good word right there. A lot of good counsel. All right. We have next on the line, Darnetta from Louisiana. She is checking in with us today, Dr. Price, because she's in transition, and she's walking through some things and would like some prayer and counsel from you, Darnetta. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Amen. God bless you, Dr. Price.
Well, how are you, beloved? Are you doing well?
I'm doing well.
Are you fighting the good fight?
I am fighting and pressing.
Good, good. God says don't give up and don't give in.
Amen.
He says stand your ground, follow the plan, work the plan the way he told you, and intensify your prayer. Now, how can I help you?
Amen. I had to return to a ministry that I departed out of season. And my leaders, they were very open. And I've been given a task by the apostle to host a program that is actually coming along pretty good. Throughout all of this, there have been a lot of changes. I've had a connection. I walked with a woman of God for 7 years, and there's been a depart of some kind. And I've reached out and attempt all kind of things, and I'm still not getting any answers. My husband is very good at counsel because he's tending to push me anyway, you know, don't worry about it, let it go. But I'm still trying, walking through it right now. Even this month, the Lord called me to fast and consecrate. And I'm just wanting to make sure I don't have to retract, I mean, you know, go back to doing the same old thing. Because when I left out of the ministry, out of season, I had to kind of go back because I know something needed to be completed that wasn't. And it kind of brought me to a place of being humble and obedient.
So what is it you want prayer for? That the woman that you were trying to reconnect with responds to you? Is that the prayer you want?
I just want a prayer that I go the right direction, and even if there are people that it's not a sign in this season, that I'm in the right season and I'm not trying to fix something that's already done and over with.
Well, I think the fact that she isn't responding to you could well be a sign. I also think that she's not responding to you because that God is dealing with her, and God doesn't want you to get in the midst of what he's doing with her until he's done.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it isn't always about us because there could be other issues that God is doing in her life, and she's not in a position to receive you. Here's what I've learned about leaders, especially leaders who are wounded and offended. I've learned that until God purges us from our offense, because when leadership guarantees you're going to be wounded and offended, first of all, earth does, and then humanity does, and then life. But when you're a leader, you're going to have people wound and offend you. That's what they do. So because some people are called to you for a moment. Some people are called to you for a weekend. Some people are called to you distantly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, as leaders, determine why people are called into our lives. And we have to know when our time with them as leaders is over or when our purpose has fulfilled. We also have to know when that person can no longer receive from us. We have to know that. Here's the problem. All of that is good wisdom, and that's prudent, but most leaders take it personal. And until we grow up and mature enough to not take it personal, but to understand that it's just ministry and it's just how it goes, and then we just move on to the next one, until we mature to that level, we're going to have people leaving all the time, and we're going to be mad all the time. And when we're angry, the longer we stay angry and resentful, the more God shrinks our sphere and shrinks those who are affected by us, because he almost kind of spiritually quarantines us.
Okay.
So this woman is on quarantine. Not whether it's you or not, I cannot say. But I do know that God wants to work in her life the ability to handle what he gives her to do maturely and to roll with the ups and downs. When I, you know, because I had to learn that. Because you think about it, as a leader, if you don't master that, you're going to walk around with a heart full of grudges. You're going to be mad at everybody all the time. And then new people don't get a fair shake because you're measuring them by the people that left and what so-and-so did, and I remember you. And so until you get to the point that it is just business, it's just ministry, when you get to that point, then God will trust you. You can release people, forgive them, because they're assignments. And, you know, because we've talked so much about relationship, we don't understand that some things are just assignments and that the relationship is just that of an assignment. And when that assignment is over, you're done, and everybody should be relieved from the detail and go on to the next phase in their life. So she may not be rejecting you as much as God is dealing with her.
Amen.
And there is a likelihood. Now, when God gets ready for you to go and clean that up, he wants it to work. I have had God refuse to let me reach out to people because they're still bitter toward me. So he's breaking my heart, and he softened me to want to seek forgiveness and to want to repent and clean it up, but the person is not going to receive it, and they're going to use that moment to lash out at me to re-wound me. So rather than do that, God just keeps us apart. So let God handle this. Just let him work this out, because when it's time, he will set it up that it will be a sweet fragrance to all involved, including you and him. Does that answer your question? And so now, as he leads you to, I mean, and even with you reaching out, I believe God told you to reach out, but he had to reach out and prove to her how unready she was.
Amen.
You know, and so I think in your case, you need to just let it go, and you've done your part, and leave it on God's desk. Okay, God, I'm going to leave this with you, and I'm going to let you set it up when you're ready, when it's time, and when he can get the most mileage out of your encounter.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so does that help? Did I hit it?
Yes, yes, you have.
All right, is there anything else before we pray?
I want to keep my husband lifted up because he works a lot. And just to free him up some time on Sunday so he can go to church and don't fall behind.
Amen. Does he want to be freed up?
Yeah, he did do the first step as his manager.
Okay, because see, I don't mind praying that, but I need to know that that's what he wants to do. Because I'll tell you something, a lot of people don't realize that they use work as an excuse to avoid God and avoid church, either because they don't like just the church environment, they don't like the church that they're going to, or they don't like to have to sit still for that long. So I have to be very clear, because my prayers work.
Amen.
So my question is, are you sure he wants to come to church, or are we just meddling?
He does.
All right, I'm going to trust you on this because what happened is we'll free him up. He'll pass up whatever he passes up and he's resentful, and that's not going to make your life better. So that's why I'm asked that question. Father, thank you, and thank you. God, we love you. There is none like you, Father, none like you in all the heavens and in all the earth. Lord Jesus, you are our God, and beside you there is no other God. Now, Lord, I thank you for Darnetta and her family. First of all, I thank you for her service, her commitment, and her devotion in you. But, God, I also thank you for her growth and maturity. She's just mushrooming into that which you want. I thank you for giving her a heart to serve you and a heart to obey you and submit to you and those you assign in her life. I thank you for giving her an understanding soul regarding matters of leadership and ministry that she is yet to understand. I also bless you for her husband who has just been faithful in helping you do what you need to do in her life. God, I thank you that he has released her to do what you need to do. And I'm asking, God, that if it's in his heart to go to church, if it's in his heart to return to your service, then, God, I'm asking you to move sovereignly and move with your authority to release him to do so on Sundays, rearrange his schedule, and give him favor with his supervisor in order to do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's good to hear from you.
It is. I look forward to Tulsa Prophetic Forum.
I know. I can't wait to see you again. Meanwhile, you keep it together and keep pushing forward, okay?
Amen. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless you.
Want to squeeze in one more?
let me just think, because, you know, you'll do that to me, and then you'll give me one, and they'll be like, we can squeeze in one more. Otherwise, it'd be like Raul, and they'll call me back next week.
I think we're good on this one.
Good.
Okay, I think. And if I'm wrong, I'll just duck. Okay, this is Pat calling from Tulsa here in Oklahoma, and she is calling Dr. Price because she is in recovery mode physically with her body, and also her life has taken some personal hits, and she would just like prayer for restoration. So, Pat, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Price. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, hello, Pat. You know, I ought to shoot you for calling my show like this. You know that, right? You know I ought to shoot you, right? I'm going to be the good host. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the good host. I'm going to do the right thing. Bless the Lord. Because, you know, I've been trying to reach out to you in every which kind of way. But that's okay, because I am concerned about you. Talk to me, sweetheart. Tell me, what is going on?
Well, just briefly, I've lost almost everything, but I'm really not focusing on that right now. I'm focusing on rehab and recovery, looking for my Ziklag to recover all, and not only just recover all, but advance. So that's really what I'm calling for prayer about, is to keep the momentum. And just even for the listeners, I'll just say I've lost a job, my condo that I owned, furniture, clothes, my health. I've been in the hospital 3 times. I had a skin problem that took about 8 months to recover from. All kinds of things. So those are the things that I need to recover.
I want to say something to you, Pat. First of all, your recovery, by March, you're going to be another woman. If you can ride this out to March, by March, your life will be back on 100% even keel. And it will be better than before. You're kind of like Job. You're going to have double for your trouble. And I don't say that lightly. I'm telling you, God said March. By March, not that this you're going to live through this, but by March, you will see the entire difference. That much I can prophesy to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's first. Secondly, when God has a great call on us and we have great obstacles, God's got to move it. Why? Because God's word cannot return to him void, neither can he suffer his word to fail. And when God has a great call, which we know he has on you, when he has a great call and we have obstacles, those foxes that spoil our vine, God's got to move them so that what he's moving into your life will not fail. And so you have got the story of every person. I'm telling you, think about all of the successful people, the millionaires, those who come up with great ideas and all of that. They all got your story. You're in great company. Abraham, leave your house. Leave everything you have. You don't know anybody, and nobody's going to know you. And just let it go. Come on. Noah, build this ark, and then when you come out, you're going to come out to nothing. But don't worry about it. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to replenish you. You are in the mode of replenishment now. You've lost what you're going to lose. You got nothing else to lose. You owe darkness nothing. You owe sin nothing. You owe your past nothing. You know all of your mistakes nothing. You owe all of that nothing. You owe your slate is clean. And you are on the rise. That I can say by the Spirit of the living God. You hando roko shedabasa. Because there are a lot of things we bring into Christ that even though God forgives our deeds, he's still got to purge our souls.
Wow.
And so if we don't let him purge our souls, then we will take in his new salvation and his new covenant and treat it the exact same way. And sometimes God, when God wants to raise you high, he's going to give you true riches and not just custodial riches. Then he's going to make sure that you will keep that and are able to keep that he gives you in the right mindset and in the right perspective. And there you go. Isn't that great?
Oh, God. Words of life. Thank you, Dr. Bryce.
And for those of you, a lot of you all who are listening and saying, but you realize, you know, because we taught you, well, when God forgives, he forgets. God, first of all, God doesn't forget, but God's enemies don't forget. Even if God wanted to forget, his enemies against your life won't forget. That's why we have the accuser of the brethren. So God just one by one just moves that stuff out the way, one by one. And sometimes it's attached to a material thing. Sometimes it's attached to a material thing that came from a relationship that God doesn't want, but yet it's going to cause us to be bound to or remember. Sometimes it's attached to a situation, to a job, to whatever, or attached to how we got things, whatever it is. But God wants to make sure that the accuser has nothing against you. So that now that he's removed all of that stuff that he can't use, you are getting ready. He's getting ready to move you into what he can use and what he will do. But God has to get you to a point that you can hear him and that he can lead you and guide you by his spirit and truth. Because a lot of us do God's thinking for him, and a lot of us answer our own questions for him just in case he doesn't give us the right answer. You stand firm. I'm telling you, by March, your life will never be the same again. It'll be like nothing you ever saw. And, honey, you're going to think that you're going to almost forget this. But the wisdom you'll have from having to come through this is what God's going to use. The wisdom and the humility and the grace. Because God's going to put a sweetness on everything about your life. It's going to be so sweet, everybody's going to be chasing you down. It's going to be great.
Oh, God, glory to God.
So you have to write it out, sis. I wish I could tell you that it's going to be tomorrow, but it isn't. He told me March, and I'm telling you, it is March. And I see March is going to break everything open for you. It's bright, it's full, it's going to be wonderful. You're going to love it.
Oh, Hallelujah.
Amen. So you and aren't you glad this is recorded, because you get to come back and listen to it again and again and again?
Yes, I am. I'm very glad.
Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I begin the even today, I begin the first steps of erecting a hedge around this woman's life. I begin today, begin to brick by brick, bring in all of the protection that she needs. I right now remove every annihilating force, every destructive force, every debilitating force in her life. I cancel that assignment today. Your time is up. I reassign you to your next path. In Jesus' name, God, we dispatch angels of restoration, angels of recovery, and we just ask our favor upon her. Lord, we're asking that you restore your favor to her in every strata, in every area of life. And God, as you do, while she's working in recovery, while you're rebuilding, thank you that you would give her compassionate saints and compassionate people who will fill the voids and plug the gaps until she's fully restored. And I bless you for doing it. I speak to this body and say, come alive and be made whole. In Jesus' name, let it be done, and let it be done today. And I thank you, Lord, that step by step, as you're remaking, as you are restoring, as you're rebuilding, Lord, that you're implanting in her and engrafting in her the wisdom of the season that she's coming out of and the reasons that you've done it, so that you may use her way into the future for your glory. And I bless you, Father, for doing it. Let every need be met even before it's answered. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Dr. Price. You know I love you, and thank you so much.
You're more than welcome, my beloved. Hey, it's a done deal. You're going to have a great life. Trust me.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You're so welcome. God bless. Well, Prophet, you were right. You predicted it. You said I could handle it. You said it'd come in under the wire, and it's not even smoking. You know, last week I was really smoking, coming in at 58.
That's right. You were coming in hot. You did it.
But this week, my goodness, you gave me almost 4 more minutes.
That's
now,
right.
I don't suppose
you handle business.
We did. We did a lot today. It was a great show. We had an opportunity to talk to different people. I love Apostle Suzanne sending in her word for us. I like that. You know, I like technology, because with technology, just about anything can be. You know, at least if it's got to travel the time and space, we can make it happen. I thank the Lord for that. We had a good time listening to our prophets talking about the Lord. And also just our callers. I want to thank every caller today. You guys, I love the calls. I know you may not realize how much I do. I love them. I love helping lives. I love counseling and ministering to God's people and sharing his mind on things so that people can really act on what I say. I don't like vain prophecy. I don't like empty prophesying, and I don't like empty hollow counsel. I just won't do it. Everything I do must be actionable. You must be able to do something with it. If it's no more than pray differently. So that is a passion of mine. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to do over the next week. I'm asking you all out there to continue to pray for me. I need you to hold me up in prayer as well. Let us know what you thought about today's show. Tweet me, Facebook me, LinkedIn me, whatever it is, and tell me what this show did for you today. I really want you to give me some comments on what I said about Before the Garden. I think that's going to be great. Don't you, Ashley?
Oh, absolutely, and I'm sure once they start rolling in, they just won't stop.
I'm convinced. So until next week, we are done with the Paula Price Show for this week. I bless everyone who was on the line. Remember, you can go back and listen again. It doesn't stop when I hang up. It's there for you around the clock and every other show that we've done. A bunch of wisdom is online for you. You don't have to wonder about what God is saying. And Ashley titles everything, or she lets you know what the subject matter is to help you make a choice. Some people just hit the button and let it cycle through. Enjoy yourself. Have a great weekend. And until next Thursday, God bless you. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Support the Paula Price Show today
For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.